Is my vessel overflowing or out of commission? 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's referring to two separate vessels, and he referred to them. And that, if you look at the scripture and the reference of it, it was talking about several different things. One, it was talking about, there's believers in the church, but there's also unbelievers. And then it talked about people that were Christ followers, and then those that also taught false doctrines. So this morning, very quickly, actually it's not going to be quick, I got a lot of material, but this morning we're going to talk about, is my vessel overflowing or out of commission? Now, we're going to pretend this is a big junior church this morning, and so I need your help. I want you to say that with me. Ready? We're going to say the whole title. 1, 2, 3. Is my vessel overflowing or out of commission? Now, I need to talk to you about a couple of things here, and we've got some, visuals, okay? And let me push this to the very edge and see what we can do here, okay? So, obviously, we have to understand that a vessel is an object designed for the sole purpose of holding or containing something. The vessel was not made already containing something. If it did, it wouldn't be a vessel. It's made empty. If contamination is an issue inside the vessel, it must be cleaned in order to not mix with what's going to be put into it. Think about this, beloved. The Lord wants us to be vessels. As a matter of fact, Acts 9:15 says, "But the Lord said unto him," referring to Paul, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel." So he is to be an example, something for other people to see. God chooses us to be his vessels. Yet he will not. Now, this is important. You need to get this. He will not force us to do anything. Our God loves us so much, he gave us a wonderful thing called choice. We can choose whether or not to believe in him, the one who made us. We can choose to allow God to use us. We can choose not to be used and disobey God. We have choices. The moral of the story, if you want to be used, it is a choice. Now say that with me. It is a choice. You can choose to be used or you can choose not to be used. That's what separates basically our Christianity, for lack of better words, religion, although I don't necessarily like that term, from any other religion, is that it really is a choice. You can be saved by grace, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But whether you follow Christ and are used by Christ, it is a choice. You're not forced to do anything. You can be allowed to basically do what you want. Now, in some circles, that's scary. But it's not scary when you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Then God can do beautiful things. As already mentioned, a vessel designed contains something. As God's vessels, we are designed to contain God. We're to fill ourselves with him. We are to read our Bibles. We're to fill ourselves with his word. We are to have communion with God and learn how to have his heart and his mind. It takes time. It may take many years to be filled with God. If we're seeking him, then he will use us along the way. Even before we come close to being full of him, he will use us. Because it is a choice. It is necessary, though, that we be clean and holy vessels. As a dirty bowl with contaminant foods placed in it, we will contaminate any good thing God wants to use for us if we're not clean, if we're not holy. Our thoughts, our opinions, our feelings, our past hurts, our attitudes, everything that has happened to us throughout our lives become part and parcel of our actions and our words. All those things make us unique individuals. The problem with that, we risk adding part of ourselves to the pure and holy word of God. And unfortunately, people do that every day. So number one, as you're taking notes, do you have a recognizable vessel? Okay, here we go. We're students in a big classroom, and I'm your professor, and some of you are already sleeping, so this is very apropos. Number one, Do we have a recognizable vessel? Say that with me. Number one, do we have a recognizable vessel? We can divide the church. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to use these bifocal things. And I keep doing this number and I'm like, oh, these are bifocals. I can see you. And I'm really having trouble here, but I'm working with it. Okay, here we go. We can divide the room into two groups. Saved or unsaved. There's only two groups of people, what I'm referring to this morning. Saved or unsaved. Simply put, are you saved? If you died today, as unlikely as it is, and you found yourself standing before God, why should He let you in heaven? And so someone told me that the other day. Might have been Brother Charles. And I thought about that. That's pretty good. Because if you ask people who are Christian, most people are going to say, class? Yes. I mean, most people think they're good people. And you probably are. You pay your taxes, you don't kick the dog, you go to work, you drive somewhat around the speed limit. You're a good person. But that's not what we're talking about here. I love you, but good people go to hell unless they have Jesus Christ. And then the next thing is, so are you 99%, 50%, 20%, or 100% sure that if you died today, as unlikely as it might be, where would you go when you died? The Bible says there's only two places, heaven or hell. So this morning, we've got two types of vessels, and they're sort of the same. It's a little cloudy, but just pretend it's, you know, okay. They look the same. And I will say this morning that all of us really look about the same in here. But only you know. Are you saved or are you not saved? If your vessel is not recognizable, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So salvation is a gift. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, if you're not saved, your vessel cannot truly be used of God, because you're not a believer, you're not a Christ follower. Has God used unsaved people in the past? Yes. But what is God's plan? I'm glad you asked. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And you can be saved today. But beloved, here's the problem. Are you a recognizable vessel? If you are not a Christ follower, if you are not saved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're unsaved and you are not a recognizable vessel. And God will not use you for His glory. Now, has God, like I said, God has done things before. But the plan is, because God can do whatever He wants. But you need to be saved. That's the first point. Now, points 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through 14. Some of you are getting really nervous. They're not going to work unless you understand point number one. The best part about it, beloved, is you don't have to leave the same way you came in this morning. You can get saved. There was I believe a Mormon on my porch, or Jehovah's Witness, I can't remember which. And I asked him, I said, okay, we talked quite a while. Long story. I finally said at the end, I said, okay, brother, we're in Chicago. I'm in a subway. A guy pulls a knife and stabs me. He gets a main artery. You can see I'm bleeding out. You can see life leaving my body. I got 2 minutes to live. Give me hope. And Brother Mikey just stared at me. Because guess what? He couldn't do it. I said, I could give you hope. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ and the Bible very clear said even a child can have Christ-like faith and become a believer. It's us adults that overcomplicate things and try to make it so difficult and add all these rules and regulations. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll A, admit that you're a sinner, B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and C, choose or confess Him, you can be saved today. I praise God for that. You can have hope. So number one, are you a recognizable vessel? Number two, do you have an available vessel? Number two, do you have an available vessel? You might say, yes, I'm saved, but I don't really want to be used of God. Now, all right. Wow, David, you're so creative. Upside down, that's great. Okay. I'm not a teacher here. Believe it or not, there's Christians that don't want to be used. Seriously, not everyone wants to be used for God's glory. Not every Christian who's a Christ follower acts Christ-like. Unfortunately, some Christians have no desire to be used of God. Yes, I'm saved, I'm a believer, but let's not get radical about the serving God stuff. Look, I'll come to church, I'll throw a couple of bucks in the offering plate, but don't ask me to get involved. Don't ask me to roll up my sleeves and inconvenience me. I'm going to come in, put my hour and a half in, and I'm out of here. Yes, there's people that fit that mold. Don't ask me to make a weekly commitment to do something dumb like teach a class or come out on visitation or help clean or help visit in the hospital. No thanks. I'm too busy. I'm not available. You know what the coffee roll is, don't you? It's not what you have with your coffee. It's what many Baptists do when we ask for volunteer. You sit in the pew, you act like you're cough, and you roll over like you've got something to look at the pew. I call it the coffee roll. I need help with this. Don't laugh. We do it all the time. I can go to my junior church and I say, I need a volunteer. And what do? I say, I need a volunteer. All of a sudden, they put both hands up. I need a volunteer. Me! Pick me! Pick me! They start going wild. The older people get, those hands start to shrink. Why? Nah, I'm not available. Boy, you're stepping on my toes. I'm preaching this to myself. Sometimes I just get too stinking busy. If you're too busy, get rid of some things. We'll talk about that later. Yes, I'm saved, but I really don't want this whole Christianity thing to cramp my friends, my lifestyle, hurt my image, get in the way of things I want to do. I'm saved, but do I really have to let my friends know? They might think I'm weird. I'm saved, but do I really have to change my life? I'm saved, but do I really have to give Jesus the wheel? If that's your thought, your desire, your mentality, beloved, you will never be used of God. And you are missing out on what God can do through your life. You're missing out. Well, how do you know, David? Are you still here? If you are, God wants to use you. If God didn't want to use you, slow boat to Shanghai. You'd be out of here. You'd be dead. The fact that you're still breathing means that God wants to use you. Yeah. Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Genesis 22:11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Exodus 3:4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. 1 Samuel 3:10. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. What's the difference when all Christians who are being used of God have in common? I'll tell you what it is. It's availability. When God called, they answered. Why? They were available. Why isn't God moving today? Because sometimes David Wyrick says, I'm out, no thanks. Why aren't things getting done? I'm not trying to be irreverent. Because God doesn't know what he's doing? Class? No. It's because what? We're saying, no, I'm out. No thanks. There's a need. That's good. We'll let the full-time staff handle that. That's what they get paid the big bucks for. No, thanks, God. I'm out. God talks, and what do? Same thing I do sometimes when I'm trying to watch a ball game. I turn my wife off. Oh, fellas, don't act all spiritual here. What? Huh? Yeah? Time after time, we see God doing amazing things through people, not because they were smart or talented or wealthy or beautiful to look at. They were just available. You may be all those things, but it's not a requirement. You may be beautiful, smart, intelligent, all those things. Beloved, if you don't want to be used of God, He won't. But I'm here to tell you, this fat, gray-haired person wants to be used of God. I want God to use me. Someday, when the kitchen calls me home, I want people to say that David Wyrick was a compassionate person that wanted to be used of God. Beloved, don't you want to be used of God? Don't you want to be a Christ follower that's used of God? Don't you want to make an impact on people? So that was point number one. Point number two, do you have an available vessel? Point number three, do you have a clean vessel? Okay, so point number three, do you have a clean vessel? I just thought about this. This probably isn't very good because we do use these for drinking, but that's okay. Doesn't that look yummy? I really hope I don't spill this. Sometimes, beloved, we get a little dirty, don't we? Who wants a drink? Doesn't that just look yummy? Mason, put your hands down. Sometimes we get a little dirty, don't we? We have to have a clean vessel. You see, if I have this in my life and God is trying to use me, what will I do with that? I will contaminate it. I will put my own thoughts, my own desires, my own emotions in that. You may say, yes, I'm saved, but there are some issues in my life that need attention. Yes, I'm saved, but there's some vices that are keeping me from being fully used of God. Yes, I'm saved, but I've allowed sin to kind of hang on. God cannot use a dirty vessel. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 51, 1 through 3. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's reread that and break it down a little bit. I'm not sure this is Greek, but we'll go with it, Pastor Holmes. Psalms 51, have mercy upon me, O God. In other words, be gracious unto me. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, God's great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. What is that? It's outright rebellion. Transgression refers to presumptuous sin. I thought about it. I knew I was going to do it. I did it anyways. To intentionally disobey God. Transgression. With willful trespassing. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Iniquity is more deeply rooted. Iniquity refers to a premeditated choice to commit iniquity and to continue without repentance. And we know the story of David and where he was at. He said, and cleanse me from my sin. Sin says on this portion to miss the mark, which I have cast, failing to do what I know what is right. Even unintentional sins. I didn't mean to transgress. I didn't mean to have iniquity, but I still sinned. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions with grief and shame. David, I'm grieving. I have shame in what I did. And my sin is ever before me. That sin which I cast behind me, but it's constantly in my view. It humbles me. It makes me continually blush. I'm embarrassed. because it's out in front of me, David said. Psalm 51:10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do more than just purify me, Lord. Do more than just cleanse me. By act of a creative power, give me a whole new heart. Cleanse me, David says. Beloved, you need to confess it, forsake it, forget it, and move on. You can get help with that this morning. You have a dirty vessel, and some of us know it. We have a dirty vessel, and God wants to use us. He can't. Why? We have that sin in our life. We want, and maybe you want to be used of God, and God says, you've got issues in your life. You've got to get cleaned up. And beloved, if all of us are honest with ourselves, we know it, don't we? We know it. I know it. Let me tell you something. The boys found out real quick when Mom and I are fighting. Oh, I know you think that church staff, well, our wives and I, we never fight. That we're perfect and we never have, just like all of you do in your wonderful marriages. I never forget, I was talking to a person one time and they said, we've been married for 947 years and we've never had a fight. And the one spouse says, yes, we have. Oh, what do you want to do, fight about it? No, honey, I don't. I thought, okay, that's why. You know, sometimes the boys, one time, it's been a while ago, Lucas was like, hey, Dad, how come you're not talking to Mom? Ooh, ouch. Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes, beloved, we get sin in our lives, and God wants to use us, and He can't. He can't. Why? He's got rewards for us. He wants to do things for us. He wants to use us. He wants to bless us. He really does. And He can't. Why? We're not walking with Him. God has gifts He wants to give us. God has things He wants to bless us with. He really does. Just ask Him. Here you go, Bentley. Nice try, Mason. There we go. I can't remember if it's in my junior's class or not. There we go. Here. Just pass that down. Hey. Isn't that what God does for those who are willing? Oh, you better say amen. We're all breathing this morning. Ain't no one wheeled in a respirator system here. God woke us up this morning. He wants to use us. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. God wants to bless us. God wants to help us. God wants to give us good things. And we constantly are mucking it up. And I'm talking to myself here. Because, I hope I don't hit anybody in the eye here. We got insurance, don't we, Pastor Holmes? Here's the deal. And even one for you today. Beloved, God wants to use us, but sometimes David Wyrick just has a dirty vessel. And the worst part is when I know it. Man, there's been times Pastor Holmes has been preaching, if I miss you, honeys, I'm sorry, you can come up and get all the candy you want. Just go home with Grandma and Grandpa. Sometimes Pastor Holmes is preaching, and I can't wait for the altar call. Why? I've got sin in my life, and I know it. And I'm on purpose having a bad, rotten, stinking attitude, and I'm telling the Holy Spirit, I don't want to do that. Leave me alone. Can I get a witness? The good part is, beloved, we don't have to leave this morning. We don't have to leave with the same vessel we came with. Hallelujah. Number four, do you have a fillable vessel? Do you have a fillable vessel? Okay, here we go. Oh, wow, more stuff. Yep. Okay. Some of you adults thought I was going to throw out money. Nice try. Luke chapter 9, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? We have to fill ourselves with God so that our opinions would be God's opinions. Our thoughts would be God's thoughts. As long as we hang to our own desires, then they can get mixed in and contaminate what God wants to use through us. By taking up the cross, it means you need to be prepared to nail any aspect of your life to the cross that God says is not necessary. What's the best news? You ask Him, and He'll tell you. God's not into playing games. God's not trying to make your life miserable. You sincerely ask God, God, what's in the way? He'll tell you. Then you have to nail that to the cross. Here's the problem, beloved. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad things. Okay? It could be your phone. Oh, man, don't go there, David. It could be. Too much time on your phone. Too much time. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all those other things. Not necessarily bad things, but God, you're just too full. Maybe it's your recreation. I was going to bring my gun, and I thought that might be a bad idea, so I didn't do that. I whip out a gun and get mowed down here in the pulpit. Could be a recreation. These are golf balls, in case you're wondering. I got this from Mr. Brown. This pink one here. Okay, we have our recreation time, don't we? We love to go to ball games. Nothing wrong ball games. Ooh, we love our expensive cars. Don't you wish you had these? God, I'd love to get more admissions, but I got that car payment. Ooh, ouch. Boy, David, stop it. You're hurting me. Man, I'd love to get involved in the program, but you know, we got things going on. We got to go camping. Let's spend time with the kids. We've got summer rec leagues. Not bad things. We're just too busy. We're too busy. If you can't serve God because of all of your things, I love you in the Lord. I'm not trying to hurt you. I would have dedicated almost half my life here if I didn't love this place. You're too busy. You need to get the things out of your life that God is trying to use you, but He can't because you're too busy. I've known a lot of good people that I've wanted to ask for help, and they've always got something else going on. Beloved, I love you. You need to take your calendar and plan it around the church, not church around your calendar. Hallelujah goes right there. It's only the work done at the cross that enables us to free ourselves of those things that hinder us. This is the difference between an available vessel, because you make yourself available, than those that are so full of things they cannot be used of God. David, I have to get rid of all of it? You talk to God. He'll tell you what to leave and what to take out. That's that choice, remember? Praise God for that. If you have a recognizable vessel, an available vessel, a clean vessel, but a full of other things, you're busy, you're involved. Not bad things, but maybe the wrong things. Be careful that you don't fill your life so full of stuff, but God gets left out on the outside. Sometimes Satan won't keep you sinful. He'll keep you busy. Take inventory of your life. Ask God to sort out. Ask yourself some tough questions. Pastor Holmes encourages us as a staff to self-reflect. Take inventory. Look in the mirror and say, is there some things I need to get rid of? It's okay to do that. My work, my hobbies, my online games. Uh-oh. Online games. Now we're meddling. I would tell you that I play Clash of Clans, but you might judge me. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you read those verses, all the things we worry about, God says, I'm going to give it to you if you'll just seek me first. Boy, I better stop. Some of you about to get your stones out and stone me here. Okay, point number five. Last point. Put your shoes on. We're about done. Do you have a willing vessel? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is not going to ask you to do the unreasonable. Dave, you kidding me? Some of the stuff that people did in the Old and New Testament, they were so full of God, to them it was not unreasonable. They had so much God in them. They did unbelievable things because to them it was not unreasonable. Wow. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you may say, I'm honestly evaluating myself, David. I can say that I'm recognizable, I'm available, I'm clean, I'm fillable, and I'm willing. How do I start? I'm glad you asked. Man, this is such an intelligent crowd this morning. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I got two more things, two more vices. Sometimes, sorry, we let cleaning get in the way. Sometimes we need to stop cleaning and go out and go door knocking. Ouch. Okay, I'll stop. And I just want to wear this because the Cavs did win a championship, so it's got my little name tag on it. When I went and recruited Dan at Pensacola Christian. Sometimes, though, we have to just take stuff and lay it down. So here we go. Last one. Okay. Now, ready? This does nothing. I was really thirsty, so I had to get something to drink. And I'm going to advertise for the Sharp family. I got Sharp water this morning. Aren't you glad you can have fun in church? You can't have fun here. Where can you have it? Don't worry. Pastor Holmes will be preaching here soon. Woo! Love is the key, beloved. There was one reason that God created us. That reason is why we have the desire to serve Him. The reason is love. We serve Him because we love Him. There's that choice. In order to become that pure and holy vessel, we have to see people through God's eyes and love them the way God does. That person in front of you that looks like they haven't slept in 4 days, maybe they're addicted to someone or something, God loves them, beloved. That person that's miserable, that's cussing everybody at Lowe's and acting like a total moron, God loves them. You'd be surprised what people are going through. And sometimes you just have to give people just a little patience. Doesn't God give you patience? Oh, yes, He does. And sometimes we forget. We forget what it was like. And maybe we've got ourselves in a great position financially, or we got ourselves in a great position for a house. And now those are great things. But beloved, I urge you, I love on you. Don't forget who gave you those things. You see, it's all about love. It's all about people. That's why God did what He did. He sent His Son. Why? Because He hates us? No. For God so loved the world. Amen. Everything God has done is for us. He created the earth for people. He sent Jesus to suffer and die for people. He wants to be used by people. It's a choice. Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. The things that the Lord fills us with are not our own use. They're for His use. They are meant to be poured out on people. It is imperative that we have love. Without love, we're useless. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Without love, we can do nothing for the Lord. Without love, we can do things for the wrong reasons, the wrong motivation. There has to be love. God knows the difficulties we have in loving others. Have you ever... I'm probably too transparent. Have you ever just wanted to beat the love of Jesus into someone? When someone's mean to your family? When someone says something hateful to your kids? You better not mistreat my kids. You're going to have some fat all over you. But I'm talking, there's times that you're a Christ follower and people are very unkind to you. You ever had people cuss you? I have. Why? They're cussing God. You got to love on them anyways. See, beloved, when we are empty and we're available, I hope I don't spill this. It is water. God pours His love on us. But He doesn't want us to keep His love. He wants us, some of you are really panicking. He wants us to pour that love on other people. What happens when I get empty? I've given all I can. Ask God and what He'll do. He'll give you more. And then you pass it out. And what does God do? Class? He gives you more. And then you pass it out. What does He do? He gives you more. The world should look at us. No, we're not perfect. I holler at my kids. I lose my temper. The other day, I acted like a four-year-old and went berserk in the driveway on my kid's head. I really did. I had to totally apologize to my kids. I totally lost my temper. I know that you guys never do that, but I do. I'm not perfect. But I want to try to be that person when I'm pouring that love out to people. When they look and say, you know, there's just something different. I can't put my finger on it. A personal, intimate relationship with Christ. Bathe yourself in God's love. Fall in love with Him through prayer, through Scripture, through study of His Word, through meditating on His Word. I know you think I'm pushing the radio, and I am. Listen to clean air. Turn off the dumb television. Every now and then, there's a television show that's worth watching. One out of about 1,000. Turn on the radio station to 90.5. Well, I don't like the music. You listen long enough, you will. You listen to the preaching long enough, it'll influence you. Every now and then, I'm like, man, that hurts. Ow, Dr. Chappell, stop it. Ow, ow. I need to hear that preaching. I need to hear that. By asking God to use you, be willing to do whatever He asks you to do. When you become that willing vessel, you're simply amazed about what God can do in your life. I bet you, if you were to ask Pastor Belcher what God has done in his life, he would say, glory to God, I don't regret a day. Yeah, there's been some dark valleys. Yeah, there's been some issues. But you're never going to regret living for the Lord. Never. Beloved, I love you. First of all, do you have a recognizable vessel? Are you saved or not saved? Don't be the vessel that says, nope. If you're a dirty vessel, let's get cleaned up. If you're too busy, ask the Lord, take inventory, and be that willing vessel. Glory to God. Do you have a recognizable vessel, an available vessel, a clean vessel, a fillable vessel, or a willing vessel? Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for this great church.